Hello, everyone. Good to see you today. And
We can't see
Moadib
you,
Simcha.
Moshe. We can't see you.
Excuse me?
We cannot see you.
That's okay. I don't want to be seen. Okay. So good to see you all. I mean, those who, Moadib Simcha. Just wanted to share a few words and then open up some discussion. We have Sukkot is upon us now, and some of us have had the opportunity of sitting in the sukkah, and others have been got rained out one night. We'll get rained out. I think we'll get rained out for the end of Sukkot, but for so far, so good. Shmini Atzeret, interesting term. It's a holiday that few know about because it's always attached to Sukkot. It's very hard to ask your boss that you want to go off for Shmini Atzeret. I've never heard of it. It means Shmini, the eighth day of assembly, and the term Atzeret, which is, we'll talk about a little bit more because I want to bring it into our practice a little bit, that word, Atzeret, means a convening an assembly, right? We have that idea, but it also means, Atzeret also means to stop. It's an interesting word. Like if you were on a bus in Israel and you pull the cord for the bus stop, it would say, the sign will come up, Atzor, stop. It also can mean stopping up of something. Usually when it's a physical thing, it's not a very positive thing when something gets stuffed up. It also means this possibility of absorbing or digesting or taking in. And maybe that's what the in-gathering or the idea of the assembly also means. It's an in-gathering, a bringing in together of people. Historically speaking, or agriculturally speaking, it probably means that at the end of the festival, 7 days of Sukkot, people had come to Jerusalem for the pilgrimage, and they were about to leave, and there was an in-gathering, and the and they were given the greetings and sent off on their way, and not to be brought back, if you will, into Jerusalem until the next pilgrimage festival, which was going to be on Passover, and with hope that the prayer of Shmini Atzeret, the prayer for rain, will indeed come to be, and that the heavy rains would start right after Sukkot, those rains will basically keep the roads muddy and people won't be traveling as much. And then hopefully by Tu B'Shvat, which is in January, February, the rains will subside and become more dewy, D-E-W-Y, and thus assuring the barley harvest would be flourishing by the time Passover came. So that's the agrarian side of the story. The other side of the story is that people didn't want to leave the presence the divine, and they asked for an extra day. They stood up an extra day. For us, as you know, it's holy time rather than holy space. So the idea that not wanting to leave the holy time, the time of Sukkot, the time we really wanted to basically spend a little bit more time. So question I'd like to ask, and also just another side thing, it's not that important, but the only other festival we have that's called Atzeret, the same, or convening, or convocation, is Shavuot, the festival where we basically end the seven-week period of counting of the barley, and according to later tradition, became the day for the giving of the Torah on Shavuot, etc. There, too, you have the word Atzeret. The difference between that Atzeret and this Atzeret comes, Shmini Atzeret comes directly after the holiday, whereas the Atzeret of Shavuot comes 7 weeks after Passover. And in a sense, Atzeret stops the, or ends the Passover season, whereas Shmini Atzeret this coming week will end the Sukkot season. So let me ask a few questions. And one of them that I like to consider is, what does it really mean to absorb and to internalize what we have gone through during this period of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and how do we express it in a more external way? One of the ways we do it, of course, at Shavuot is we have a sukkah, we have all kinds of celebrations, and we literally digest in the food that we eat. And what do we do? How do we bring all the things that are within the processes of our lives? How do we externalize them in a way that shows that we have been able to absorb nature of And we also went on Shmini Atzeret to sort of externalize all that. So this is really if you will, the balance between the hidden and the revealed. And I'd like to often talk about that. What do we hide and what do we reveal? And are they both the two sides of the same thing? Are we hiding from parts of ourselves? Are we integrating ourselves, etc.? So this is really one of the questions that we ask, and it's about the question, like all of our holidays have to do with liberation from bondage. And what does that really mean to be liberated, to be free of subjugation? And for us, for the Jewish people, subjugation to anything outside of our own sense of divine connection is considered slavery. So when Moses asked the people, asked the Pharaoh to send his people out, it's not that they should send them out into anarchy or freedom, but it's to send them out so they shall serve me, and that God becomes the new, if you will, the new master. But it's not like you're not going to serve anybody, and you do have to serve. I think it was Bob Dylan says, you're going to have to serve somebody. And we do have to serve somebody. So the question of liberation has always been a question for me of what does it really mean to be free? And how do we express that freedom? And I don't want to get involved in politics and treacherous times that we are in, but it's quite clear too that little by little there are forces in the society that would like us to basically trade in our freedom for some other, if you will, if I can use a term, another kind of idol. What idol will we be subjugated to if our freedoms are taken away? So, are we talking about a freedom from responsibility, a freedom from making moral choices? And of course, we would say that's not the case. To be a slave is to be someone who has no moral choice. And to be free is somebody who can, if you will, make choices. And we are always put in that situation of having to make choices. So how do we get to freedom? And that's one of the ways that we can internalize all that happened since Rosh Hashanah till Shmini Atzeret. The awakening, the abstaining, the indulging, the celebration, and how we take all of those things and realize that the only way we can celebrate our real freedom is through, and that's what Sukkot is all about, is through a sense of joy. Can a slave be joyous? And if so, what is the joy if it's not a joy of freedom? So this is a question I've asked myself quite a bit, and we can have answers, and I hope there are no answers, there are ruminations, there are ways of thinking about it. So what Shmini Atzeret is about for me this year, as I'm thinking about it, is that how does it create a sense of assimilation and absorption and internalization of what we have come to realize by the announcement of the beginning of the new year, by our abstaining from pleasures of the flesh, and by the possibility of celebration. How do we basically internalize that, absorb that, and bring together in assembly, if you will, if I use that term, bring together in assembly all those different parts of us that have been, if you're given an opportunity to exhibit themselves over the last 3 weeks. So again, I don't have a large amount of talking to do, so I'm going to come back to you guys now. Here I am. I just was reading from some notes that I took. So that's where I'm at. I'm not, I didn't get much deeper than that, but I was, feeling okay. We had so many experiences. If we be a little bit more punished, I'll be a little punish, 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 and I'll say, how do we harvest all that? during this harvest time? How do we harvest all the different experiences that we've gone through in the last 3 weeks? And if so, what are we harnessing? And how does that help us in making the next steps in our lives? So I'll just leave it open there. And good to see you all now that I am looking at all of you.